Hemp, we often say industrial hemp to distinguish it from the marijuana that gets you high, has turned into a big industry practically overnight, and not everywhere either. Oregon planted and reaped thousands of acres of hemp last year, but some states have not started growing it yet, even though it is now allowed under federal law, where marijuana is not. Let's get some insight into the hemp industry from someone who covers it. Chuck Abbott is a journalist for the Food and Environment Reporting Network, an independent nonprofit news organization producing investigative reporting on food, agriculture, and environmental health, so he knows a bit about what goes on in farm country, and he's our guest. Chuck, thanks for joining us.
Thank you. I appreciate the invitation.
Sure. Now, how long has industrial hemp been on your radar, part of the mix of subjects you cover?
Well, I would say we'd go back to the 2014 Farm Bill when, for the first time in decades, the federal government, although in a very limited way, allowed production of industrial hemp. The 2014 Farm Bill allowed states to conduct research and pilot projects on hemp. And that was spearheaded by Kentucky, a former tobacco state where there's a lot of very hilly, mountainous terrain and a lot of small farms and people looking for something to be a cash crop. And then in the 2018 Farm Bill, as you said in your introduction, 2018 Farm Bill legalized industrial hemp cultivation across the United States, and that was pushed in great parts by the Senate Majority Leader, Mitch McConnell, from Kentucky. Interestingly, the former state agriculture commissioner from Kentucky got elected to Congress, and he also helped push the 2018 Farm Bill provision for industrial hemp.
Is that part of the appeal of industrial hemp to farmers, that it gives them something else to grow when their former crop is no longer in favor, as is the case with tobacco?
The allure of industrial hemp is the promise of thousands of dollars an acre in return. A lot of this is driven by the interest in CDB, cannabidiol oil, which is used in supplements and foods. And it has quite a following. And as I said, there's stories of people getting paid thousands of dollars an acre if they're selling the flowering part of the plant to a processor who's making CDB oil.
Mm-hmm.
One of the reasons is that in some cases that's 10 times what farmers could make off of corn, wheat, or soybeans. And another aspect to this is that since 2013, prices for the market prices for the major U.S. commodity crops have been relatively stagnant, and compared to the commodity boom of which ran from the 2006 to 2012, rather low. So farmers are looking for something else that can produce a profit, and hemp is part of it is because hemp has gotten this big push in advertising, and part of it's because hemp grows everywhere. It really is, so tons of people are interested in this as a crop. Whereas if there were climatological constraints, like growing rice, you can only grow it, when it's warm enough, long enough. People wouldn't, but hemp grows everywhere.
It does indeed, and I wonder how the distribution is going, though, because we had 60,000 acres planted in Oregon last year, from what the State Agriculture Department tells us, around 9,000 to 10,000 in Jackson County, where we are based alone. I mean, is that sort of high for the distribution you see across the country?
First off, let's say, from the viewpoint on the East Coast, it's hard to get solid numbers on hemp cultivation. That's because it's reporting hemp cultivation is voluntary at the federal level. I mean, because if the farmers are part of the farm program, they end up reporting their plantings of various crops. But it's voluntary. Hemp is not a program crop, so it's voluntary. And you've had various people talking about where's hemp grown the most. The Western United States seems to have the highest plantings. One group. It's called Vote Hemp, which has been around for several years and promotes legalization of industrial hemp. know, it says that something like 511,000 acres were licensed for hemp production last year, and that about 230,000 acres were actually planted, and about half of that, which would be 115,000, were harvested. But you know, as I said, the numbers, people admit the numbers are not really firm. One of the advantages of the hemp program that USDA rolled out in late October is that USDA will begin collecting nationwide totals on hemp production. One of the farm groups, the American Farm Bureau, says that Montana is the leader. But anyway.
All right. So, I did notice that there were 511,000 acres licensed, but I was going to ask you how many planted, and that's a great thing to know, is that less than half of what was licensed actually got planted with hemp.
Right. Yeah, because there are problems. People get a license, and, you know, it's difficult getting seed, and so people sometimes have, you know, crops that just don't germinate very well because the seed, you know, is infertile. Or, you know, there's a drought, the plants don't grow very well, and so you give up. It's quite a problem. But, you know, it's also, I mean, I've thought about this, it's like hemp is, you know, it's an infant industry. It's like being a hemp grower is like, you know, life on the frontier. You're inventing everything in a world where you don't know what's going to happen.
Oh, because there's been no experience with hemp for so long.
Right. There's been no experience because it's hemp was considered to be marijuana. There's been no crop research. There's been no, there's been pitiful little, I shouldn't say pitiful little, but very little amounts of research into, you know, the efficacy of hemp as a food ingredient or a supplement, or the safety of it, or proper dosage levels. And you know, they're saying that the FDA last fall warned people that hemp is not generally regarded as safe, which is a phrase that means that, you know, if you're using it in a food product or presenting it as a drug, that you don't have FDA approval. And FDA has sent warning letters to companies telling them to stop making claims about the beneficial aspects of consuming hemp products.
Mm-hmm. We're talking to Chuck Abbott, a journalist on industrial hemp, of which there is great growth around the country. You can join the conversation on the exchange at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email jx@jeffnet.org. This the craze for CBD oil, the cannabidiol oil. I mean, have you ever seen that much growth in the demand for a product, or at least in the supply for it? It's not necessarily the demand.
Well, it is surprising, as you say, because a couple, you know, say at the time the Farm Bill, the 2018 Farm Bill passed, and people talked about, well, have industrial hemp, and there was a lot of thought of, well, it's, you know, it's going to be used in apparel, because that's one popular market. And then, as you said, suddenly people are talking about CBD. I mean, it's personal testimony. My son works at a organic food store, and it has, you know, it sells CBD tablets. But in the last year or two, I've learned that, you know, you can go walk into a lot of pharmacies in America, and they'll sell you CBD tablets. I was in the checkout line at a major grocery chain the other day, and there's a magazine for sale there about, you know, cannabis, and it's aimed at consumers.
Was it a Kroger?
There's articles. No, it was a Kroger. It was a Kroger. Kroger-owned chain, Harris Teeter, which is in the southeastern United States. It's a $12 magazine. And it's got stories about how to tell if your dog is getting the proper level of CBD.
Yeah, I asked that about the Kroger thing because I saw the same sort of display at a Fred Meyer grocery, and Fred Meyer is also owned by Kroger. That's where that question came from. So markets aside, Chuck, what can you tell us about processing facilities for hemp to turn out the products? I mean, these can't be that well developed given the short time it's been in production.
You are totally correct on that. I was at a meeting of, you know, at the end of the year, of a group of people who were forming a hemp farmers association, And a couple of the people at this meeting said one of the big problems is that the processing industry now is at the boutique level. It's like somebody who, in your county who has a small, a press in their back, essentially in their back, in the garage, the back room, and they can handle, a few hundred pounds of hemp a day. And you're talking about it, but you have farmers who can produce tons per acre.
Mm-hmm.
It is a big problem finding the processor. There were reports at the end of last year that a lot of people who harvested hemp couldn't find a buyer because there's no processor. The processing facilities were so small.
Mm-hmm.
The processing capacity was so small.
And I noticed, too, that you wrote an article indicating that growers planted twice as much land in chickpeas and lentils as they did in industrial hemp.
Right.
So that gives us some level of scale.
Right, yeah. It's that's one of the, when you talk about the interest in it, that's one of the ways of gauging how fascinated people are.
Mm-hmm.
But it's that you have relatively small acreage, and yet, there are meetings, farm meetings across the country where people talk about hemp as an alternative cash crop.
Let's take a call here. We have Russell in Talent on the line. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange. We're talking industrial hemp with the journalist Chuck Abbott.
Good morning.
Hi.
Yeah. There are hemp growers around us out here in the countryside. And one day last September, there was pollen on everything.
Mm-hmm.
Everything was covered with it, and a few days after that, I went from a pretty youthful older guy to a very old man with just terrible respiratory problems that haven't gone away.
Mm-hmm. This is from the pollen from the hemp, you're saying?
5 months later.
Mm-hmm.
So I've called everywhere I can think of, and nobody has got an answer for me as to, what sort of health regulations, what precautions there are. Nobody seems to know anything.
And this is the pollen from the hemp, you're saying?
Yes. There are a lot of people sick with it. And
okay, let's find out what Chuck
my
knows.
My advice was just go get an attorney, and I don't think that's acceptable.
Mm-hmm.
There needs to be some regulation.
Okay, thanks for that, Russell. Let's check and see what Chuck can tell us about. Chuck, have you had other stories like this?
This is the first time I've heard of this concern. It's surprising. It is the caller just come up with a good point that when you're using open fields for production of any commodity, that during the reproductive cycle, there will be pollen floating around.
Mm-hmm. Especially when there's so much planted. There are times where you can just drive and see what looks like hemp stretching to the horizon in parts of Jackson County.
Wow. that rivals where I live in the Midwest and see corn stretching to the horizon.
Yeah, it's kind of like that.
This is an interesting issue. I have not heard of this before.
Yeah, it is. And Russell, I appreciate the call, and pardon us for giggling about the production of hemp, because it is obviously not a joke to you. I want to talk about other issues with hemp and what's in it, because I noticed that you wrote recently, Chuck, about THC levels in hemp. What's it limited to now, and what do farmers want to take that to?
Okay, well, that's another one of those points which gets into the pollen floating around. Under the law, if you turn in a cannabis plant that has less than 0.3% THC content, it's hemp and it's legal. And that's why, for instance, if you go to the pharmacy and buy hemp tablets, CBD tablets or whatever, it'll say content equal to or less than 0.3%. If you turn in a crop that has more than 0.3%, it's marijuana under the law, and the USDA hemp production program rules say that it has to be disposed of. Just give me a moment to expand on this. And because it would be considered marijuana, that means it does disposal is not something like disking the crop under and turning it into green manure. Disposal means you have to have a law enforcement agent or a DEA-approved contractor collect all the plants and dispose of them in the same methods used to get rid of other drugs, which often means incineration. So this could be very expensive.
Mm-hmm.
So there's been a couple ways farm groups and state officials have gone. For instance, the American Farm Bureau Federation, at its meeting in early January, voted to say, well, let's just, you should allow, let me find it here to make sure I got it right. You should allow 1% THC, and up to 1% THC, and it'd still be legal.
Mm-hmm.
Which would probably require a change in the law. The National Association of State Departments of Agriculture has said, well, allow people to have up to 1% THC content in their in the hemp. But,
all right, so the point, though, is not to get anybody stoned, it sounds like.
But don't charge, up to 1%, but don't charge it as being negligent.
Mm-hmm.
Among the concerns is, one, losing all your investment because you have to destroy crops. The other concern is, if you go above 0.5% THC, a farmer is considered to be negligent.
Mm-hmm.
If a farmer is negligent three times in 5 years, the farmer is banned from hemp production for 5 years.
All right, so it's less about getting stoned than it is about just giving the farmer some wiggle room.
Right, and there are arguments at this point that it's difficult to find hemp seed that will reliably come in at under 0.3% THC, and you just need a little more room.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not that people are trying to evade the law, it's that it's a very difficult a very difficult bar to clear. And to make sure that you stay under the limits.
Chuck, about 30 seconds left. What do you see in the hemp industry for this season?
It is going to be an interesting year. One of the publications that covers the industry talked to 12 people, and they were divergent between it's going to grow, this is a year of retrenchment, versus this is a year where things solidify. It truly is. This is the first year that cultivation is legal nationwide, and it is hard to know, how people are going to respond.
All right.
Can't be better than that.
All right. So in other words, there's quite a bit of a scattershot view within the industry itself. Sure.
And USDA put out its program rule for at the start in late October. Mm-hmm. Public comment closed January 29, and virtually every aspect of the program is up for change for 2021.
Okay, hemp, growing and very busy industry. Chuck Abbott covers this and lots of other stuff in agriculture for the Food and Environment Reporting Network. Chuck, thank you.